Praise God. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And a leper came to him, Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And moved with compassion, he, Jesus, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be clean." Wow. If thou art willing. If you are willing, Jesus. Guess what? He's always willing. He's always willing. The thing is, you and I have to get into line. But I'm going to just pause there. I was going to do something else and it's just slipped my mind, but just as I looked across the congregation, I need Carol to come out for a moment. You know, we had a great service last Sunday, and Daniel spoke, and the Lord was really moving, and I just felt, oh, it's Grace spoke, that's right, my apologies. My wife spoke. Just wipe that off the tape and put it back on, okay? Then I'm safe. My wife spoke last week. It's a good word. And then I just followed on, and I just felt that God wanted to do something in the meeting right at the end. And we just said, "Is anybody needing healing?" And David came out, and David said God healed him. Is that right? Right, so he had a severe water infection, and the Lord healed him that evening, that afternoon, and it's completely gone. Amen. That is because that Jesus is real. If he is willing, let me tell you this, Jesus is willing. Amen. Carol came out for prayer. I never asked her what she wanted, did I? No. I just said, "Lord, speak to me." And as I began to wait and just laid hands on her, then God began to move and God began to do something in her life. And I wanted just to share that brief testimony. I know you guys videoed it and it's on Facebook and it's got a pile of hits. Praise God. You know, people have been looking, and it's time to stir the people. It's time to stir the church even, that Jesus is still the healer. He's the one who's come to set us free. Amen. And he still is the healer. And stop watering down the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, come on, Carol, you're going to share with us, aren't you?
Same as most older people in this country or throughout the world. I've had problems with joints, especially a left knee. And 4 years ago, I fell on it. And so from then, I've had a marked limp. Last February, I had knee replacement, which left it 10 times worse, and as if it was longer than the other, and I've had a real twisted gait. And last week I was prayed for, and as you can see.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And we always say, you know, if God heals you, then you need to testify. You need to tell people what God has done. Because it builds faith, and also we are honouring God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus for the work of the cross, and that he is still, as the Word of God says in Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He goes on and on and on. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. You and I need to change. Amen? So let's praise God together. So this leper, he comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, "I am willing." It's you and I who need to step into line with Jesus. It's you and I that need to step into line with the Word of God, and let that Word begin to just move in our lives. You know, this book, the Word of God, needs to be the priority. Not the news, not the media, not Facebook, not Twitter, not Instagram, not WhatsApp or any of these other things that are out there. This needs to be the most important thing in our lives. This is living bread. This is life and life forevermore. This is eternal life. This is life that is empowering. This is life that is healing. This is life that sets people free from the demonic forces and releases them into eternal life in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Come on. Verse 42, and it says, and immediately the leprosy left him, and he went, and he was clean. And he was sternly warned of him immediately and sent away. And Jesus said to him, see, you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and the offering for your cleansing, what Moses commanded for the testimony to them. What did he do? He says, but he went out and began to tell everybody in the city. Hey, guess what's happened to me? You know, I don't know how Jesus expected him to keep quiet, seriously. I mean, if you understand leprosy, he may have lost some fingers. He may have lost part of an ear or part of his face is disfigured totally with leprosy. And all of a sudden, Jesus touches him, which he shouldn't have done, because that would make Jesus unclean. But the Son of God reaches down and he touches this man and heals him. And suddenly the leper, who maybe he'd only got 2 or 3 fingers left, suddenly looks at his hand and he sees, I've all my fingers. Feels he's got his ears. How did that happen? Because Jesus was willing. Jesus today is still willing. I've been in some churches where, well, I remember once in Romania we had a small crusade in a village and we got all the churches together. And right at the end, we called a prayer line for people to be healed. And on the front row on the left-hand side was a family, a young family, a father with his, I think his 4 children. And two of his children gave their lives to Christ. He had one child that was sick. Seriously ill. I can't remember what the details were, but I remember praying for that child and instantly the child was healed. Now, before that happened, we called this prayer line and I said to the ministers in the congregation, I called them out, I said, you come out and stand with us and pray with these people. And the Baptist minister and the Baptist elder came up and said, we don't believe that Jesus heals today. So they got up and left the church, the building. I'm like, well, you should have stayed and at least seen that Jesus does heal today, because actually this family on the left-hand side were going to his church, believe it or not. 2 of them were saved and 1 of them was miraculously healed and set free. I thought, well, wait while he goes on Sunday morning to church and there they're saying, we don't believe that Jesus heals. Well, funny, here's my son and God healed him. You see, Jesus is not really interested in your opinion. You see, your thinking and my thinking has to line up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up, then let me tell you this. Almighty God is not wrong. You are. And you need to straighten up. You need to align yourself with this Word of God. Oh, well, that's not where your popular thinking is. I don't care what popular thinking is. I don't care what the culture is. You see, I am no longer English. No. You're no longer Chinese. No. We're heavenites. Amen. We are people of the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not. Lithuania. I was getting too wrong, don't I? You're not from Lithuania anymore. You're from the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You see, it's not about culture. You see, we're not governed by our culture anymore. I don't care whether you're black, white, yellow, red, or blue, or green. It is not culture. It just has to be God. It has to be a moving of the Spirit of God.
Because you see, he has to take control. He has to be the one who moves through our lives. And in moving through our lives, salvation comes, healing comes, miracles, signs, wonders and miracles. We are called into that passion. We're called into that walk for Jesus. None of us are too old and none of us are too young. Hallelujah. I remember once in a crusade somewhere many years ago, an 8-year-old got up and prophesied. I was blown away, man. Wow. Where did he get that from? The Spirit of God. Moving in him. Because he was open to be moved by the Spirit of God. You know, if we look in Numbers chapter 12, you see there one of the first references to some degree on leprosy. And this is when Miriam and Aaron actually spoke out against Moses and his leadership. And they questioned him because his wife Zephara had died. And he later married a woman from Ethiopia. And they were saying they weren't happy with it. His sister wasn't happy. His brother wasn't happy. And they were complaining. I like to remind people, there's no room in heaven for moaners and complainers. No room in heaven for moaners and complainers. And I tell you what, if you're connected with a moaner and a complainer, disconnect yourself and do it quickly. Because they will drag you down. You have to be, we need to be people that are positively believing the word of God, that are trusting this word, that God said it, he will do it. We are here after a 25-year journey. God said it, he will do it. People have got fed up and left us saying it's not going to happen. Well, guess what? It's happened. I'm here. We're here. This building's here. The promise came through. And the promise is not yet finished. The promise is ongoing, that God promised he would fulfill and fill this place to full and overflowing. And it will be a place of signs, wonders and miracles to the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. And we want to build and seek to build a people of God who are flowing in that anointing, who are fulfilling God's vision and God's purpose. Every one of us is called. You're not all called to preach. As a teenager, if somebody had said to me, one day you're going to stand, and I once stood in front of a congregation over 1,500 people, and Grace looked at me and she said, I'm glad you're preaching today and not me. I'm like, wow, okay, yeah. And if somebody had said you're going to speak in front of that many people, I'd have said, no way, it is not happening. I was like this. I was timid and shy. But I tell you what, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was a change. There was a change that came upon me. I was different. I was being transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit into the image of my Father God. And boldness that I have is not a boldness of self-confidence, but it is a boldness that I know God knows, and I know what God said, and I know what God is going to do. Amen. And so then you take that boldness and you say, thank you, Lord. I'm trusting in your boldness. I'm trusting in your faithfulness, because God is a faithful God. Praise his wonderful name. And so they complained and moaned about Moses. In verse 1 of chapter 12 of Numbers. And then it goes on further. And in verses 10 through to 15 it says, God spoke to them, to Miriam and Aaron and Moses, and he called them together. And it says, and the cloud of God drew over the tent, and behold, when it lifted, it says, in verse 10, and when the cloud had been withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron turned towards Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Then Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, I beg you, do not account this sin to us in which we have acted foolishly. in which we have sinned. You know, we can do some foolish things, don't we? We make some foolish decisions, we do some foolish things at times. And you know, if we just listen, learn to listen to God, there's a lot of things that we could avoid. And you know, that is one of the things that we're seeking to do in these next few months again afresh, is to begin to teach people to hear the voice of God again. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. You know, I want to see this next generation that grows up in the church. I want to see it to be anointed. I want to see it moving in signs, wonders and miracles. I want to see it being a glorious bride that is powerful, that shows that who Jesus really is. Because the Word of God tells me that Jesus is coming back for a glorious bride. She's not going to be have a scruffy white dress with a few rips in it and, you know, begging somebody to come and bail her out. She's going to be a church that stands there and says, no turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. And there is no turning back. And it's only going forward. And I've come too far to turn back. I don't have enough energy to go back. I can only go forward. Hallelujah. The momentum is going forward. And you know, the voice of God is calling us forward. He's calling us into deeper things. He's calling us to equip us. That is why I believe the doorways are opening even more. Because God is beginning to prepare the way. Because the Holy Spirit wants to sweep into nations. He wants to sweep into people's lives. And He wants to change their destinies. God spoke to me and said, you're my refiner. He showed me I'm a wrecking ball at times. I go into places and I start swinging this wrecking ball around. Pulling down the establishment. You know, we've always done it this way. Really? Has it always worked? No, it's never worked, but we've always done it. And we're so used to doing it. Well, let's change. Let's ask God. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. What should we do? Let's trust Him. Let's move forward in God. See, God wants to... Every one of you is called and appointed and anointed through that precious sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And when He made that sacrifice and you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's called you the anointed ones. He's calling you into ministry to fulfill. Every one of us should be winning souls for Jesus. There's no greater joy, there's no bigger miracle than winning a soul to Christ. It is exciting, it's thrilling. I suppose we better get back to the message. You know, Moses asked God to heal his sister. Now, Moses is the most humblest man on the earth. And God is so enamored by him. And yet, God says to Moses, put outside the camp for 7 days. 7 days she was out of the camp. The Pharisees and the Sadducees held Moses in tremendously high esteem. And when Jesus touched this leper, he went against the traditions. He went against the laws. And he touched him, it says, and immediately he's healed. It wasn't 7 days later. It was immediate. It was immediate. She was healed. I didn't know anything about it. We were just fellowshipping afterwards, and the next thing I know, she's marching up and down like, look at this, just look at this, look at this. What we're looking at, you know. In truth, I didn't know, did I? It's only the aftermath of it all. I'm like, wow. But this is my Jesus. This is what I expect. You know? Not that I'm saying, oh, it's okay, it just happens all the time. No. Every time it happens, I get excited. Every time it happens, I'm thrilled to know that my God, my Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed, but the people outside are going to find out about this, and the people outside are going to change. We will do not want to lose another generation to the devil. We need to be plundering hell and populating heaven. That is what we need to be doing. We need to be rescuing our young people from being stolen by the things of this world, drawn away because they think church is boring. Get them laying hands on the sick, healing them, seeing Jesus moving. When we were in Romania just the other last year, where's the time going? Last year, I know Daniel was tremendously encouraged, and so was I. We were praying for people, and Daniel had prayed for a lady, one of the meetings, and she was still stood there waiting for prayer, and I'd been praying for other people over the other side of the church. I saw this lady, and Daniel was halfway down the church somewhere, so I thought, oh, they must have missed this lady, so I went up and began to pray for her. And Daniel walked back as I was praying for her, and he heard what I was saying to her, and when I'd finished, he says, I gave her the same word. God told me exactly the same thing, and I gave it to him. I'm like, yes, that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in each and every one of us. And so we have to get people to begin to flow and to operate in the Spirit of God. It shouldn't all come from here, the platform. We're the ones to encourage, to teach, and to bless, and then while we're doing that, then we're equipping you to go out into all the world, preach the word of God, heal the sick, and raise the dead. How many believe that we should be raising dead people? Hallelujah. I've seen 3 dead people raised. Wow. One of them's in the congregation today. She sat right behind you. Of all places to die, a prayer meeting. Can you imagine that? Dying in a prayer meeting? And we prayed and laid hands on her. And I don't know how many years ago. 14 years ago. She's still alive. She's praising God. She's been on a mission trip, and you know, life is still good. Dare to be bold. Dare to trust the word. Dare to believe that if thou wilt, if he will, guess what? I'm telling you, I hear ministers pray, Lord, if it be your will. Well, let me tell you this, don't pray that. Go and find out. Find out what the will of God is, and then pray it. Be bold about it. Declare the word of the Lord. You know, the blind man comes to Jesus. One thing you've got to remember, he's never ever seen. And he calls out, Jesus! Jesus! And everybody's saying, shut up. Be quiet. Hush. You know. And one thing about a blind man in Israel's time, he wore a yellow cloak. Didn't have a white stick, he wore a yellow cloak so that he was well visible, that people wouldn't knock him over, that he was blind. And suddenly Jesus heard his voice and stopped, and the crowd parted. The crowd suddenly changed the tune. Oh, Jesus wants you. You weren't saying that a few minutes ago, were you? And the thing about him was, he showed his faith before Jesus prayed for him. He showed his hand. Because what he did, it says, he says he threw his cloak off. You know what that was saying? I don't need this anymore. He's still blind, but he heard Jesus call his name. And he's tossed his cloak off and says, I've got his attention. I don't need this anymore. And he walked to Jesus. And Jesus made some spit in the ground and made some mud and put it on his eyes. Said, I see men as trees walking. He prayed for him again, and immediately his eyes were open. He made that step. He took a step of faith and says, I'm leaving that behind me. And he threw it off. He said, I'm going forward in in trusting God and believing that this Jesus is the Son of God. And as I said, the Bible teaches us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed, so we need to change. We need to line up with the Word of God. The church needs to become bold again. Not just singing songs and having a good, happy, clappy time and getting a few goosebumps and saying, wasn't that wonderful? And listening to the preacher for 5-10 minutes and say, yeah, it was okay, but I fell asleep in that. Yeah, I fell asleep because I was so busy dancing and bopping, I'd run out of energy and I couldn't. And the most important thing is the Word of God. And if the church will take the Word and let that Word, because the Word is Jesus, and begin to stand against false teaching, stand against idolatry, stand against false religions. You know, this Billy Graham evangelistic movement, when Franklin Graham is coming later on this year, it is still on the cards, it's still happening. The venues may have cancelled, but guess what? They're looking for bigger venues. Hallelujah. This, you know, this nation is called a Christian nation, and yet he's just been out into one of the Islam countries and they're welcoming him with open arms and saying, come and bring us the message. And people are getting saved, healed and delivered and set free. And yet this nation is saying, don't talk to us about Christianity. We don't want your God. Well, I'll tell you what, he is coming. He is coming. And you know, we the church need to stand strong. And we need to nail our colours to the mast. And we need to bring up a new generation that is full of the Spirit of God, full of the power of God, that will stand like the disciples and declare the word of the Lord. And as in the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to that church that day. Come on. Your church, our church, and the churches around us are not big enough for the people that are in Doncaster. We don't have enough room. But guess what? We have a big enough God. Hallelujah. And if it means 2-3 services a day, then so be it. But let us move this nation back to God. Let us be a people of power and a people of praise. I love praise and worship, but I love the Word. I love to hear the Word. I love Jesus in such a wonderful way. You know, when we read here in Matthew chapter 8, the same story of the leper. Chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2. In verse 2 it says, and behold, the leper came and bowed down to him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing. Do you believe Jesus is willing? Jesus is willing to save souls. Jesus is willing to set captives free. We had some news this week. Some of us are involved in working in Teen Challenge Doncaster. We deal with the drug addicts, the alcoholics and the prostitutes, etc. And there's one girl who we've been dealing with since 2006. That's when we first started. Twice we've had her this close, so close to going into rehab. And something has always snatched her back. She's been so close to coming to church, and something has always snatched her away. Her mother sent her on the streets at 13 to be a prostitute, because the police warned that the mother was a prostitute. And the police said to the mother, if we catch you again on the streets, we will lock you up. So she sent her daughter out instead. What mother can do that? At the moment that I'm being asked to potentially do the funeral, oh dear God, there is a righteous anger in me at this time, and I'm just like, I don't know really what I would say, truthfully. This girl, 40 years old now, and she's died. They found her dead in her flat. She never made that decision for Jesus. My heart breaks, it weeps for that situation. I know I can't win everyone, I understand that. But I don't mean to say that I hate it when I lose that opportunity. When we miss the potential of a life that should have lived longer and could have been a mighty source of blessing to others for Jesus. We need to arise and let our faith arise. You know, there are lives out there going to a lost eternity. Gossip the gospel. Share the word of God. Jesus is willing to save and to heal and to set free. I love it after this story in Matthew 8 with this leper that suddenly he enters into Capernaum in verse 5. He says, and a centurion came to him and he's entreating him, he's begging him, please heal my servant. And Jesus said to him, I will come, verse 7, and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, for my servant will be healed. Now what a measure of faith. Just speak it. That's all you need to do. Just say it. That's all you need to do. And my servant will be healed. And Jesus is astounded by this. He's like, wow. The chosen people, Israel, don't believe like this. My people don't believe like this. And the centurion goes on to say in verse 9, for I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to the other, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. And now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who are following, truly I say to you, I have not found such greater faith with anyone in Israel. He says in verse 11, and I love this part, this next part, because that brings you and me in. It brings you and I into the equation of all things. And he says, and I say to you that many shall come from the east. Hi, China. You've come from the east and from the west. That's us. And recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. We have been brought into this. Why? We were sold out. Before Israel even existed, we were sold out. Adam sold out to the devil. And he gave up on the kingdom of God on the earth. And Satan took hold of it. And we were sold out. But I thank God for Jesus, the second Adam, who came. And he's prophesying here. Jesus is prophesying. They shall come from the east and from the west, and they will dine at this table in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Because Jesus died for all humanity. He died for all mankind. He died for all of creation. Creation. At the cross, everything was redeemed back to God. Because everything came from God. Everything belonged to God. And God gave it to Adam to care for it. To rule and reign over it. But he lost it. But through Jesus, it has been redeemed back to us. If you will. He will. Will you join hands with him? Will you partnership with God? Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Satan comes to steal, kill, destroy. Is that what we're seeing today? We see that on the media constantly. Happening all the time. Destruction, destruction, stealing, destroying people's lives. But thank God Jesus did not stop there. Hallelujah. He interjected with a but. But, he said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Hallelujah. You know, God, you see, God wants you to be blessed. Right? Trouble is, sometimes we do some of the dumbest things. We allow our thinking to override the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. You see, we have to begin to learn to recognize that voice. We have to learn to begin to trust that voice. And when you do that, God will take you through every circumstance and situation and bring you out in victory. Amen. And what He will do during that time, where to you and to me it seems impossible, that journey, but with God it is Him possible, and a miracle happens. Grace and I, our personal journey. When I finished working in this in industry and was called of God to begin to minister financially, we can't live where we're living now. And I made plans to change that, and I heard God say, no, no, you are going to trust me, and I am going to do for you what no man has ever done before. I am going to keep you in that that you are accustomed to, and even greater. And I was like, wow, how's he going to do this? Because suddenly we were living on 20% of our earnings with a massive mortgage. There wasn't enough money to pay the mortgage. But guess what? Never once did we miss a mortgage payment. I've got a degree. I did the numbers. Red. God's got a different calculator. Black. Blessings upon blessings. As you walk in obedience, as you trust Him, as you stay close to Him, as you follow Him, as you hear His voice, He will do things that are impossible. Do you know why? Because He is an impossible working God. How do you part the Red Sea? I have no idea. It's impossible. But God can do it. How do you raise the dead? I have no idea, apart from praying for them and believing God, because God does it. How does Carol get healed after 4 years? I don't know how it's done, in the sense, I don't know the mechanics of it, but God does. All He says, will you obey? Will you be willing? Are you willing as well as Him willing? Yeah. Isn't it? God is calling us into a partnership, working together, to see His kingdom come, to see the name of Jesus highly exalted, far above every name that lifts its head up. Nothing shall raise itself above the name of Jesus. Islam, Buddhism, anything else that seeks to have a name, it says, shall bow its knee to the name of Jesus Christ. We need to realize that. And as we press in together, and we see God moving in power, and see God changing our destiny for the future. And lately this keeps coming back to me. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Cannot get away from this. A commission. If you were in an army and your officers gave you a commission, it's something that has to be carried out right to the end. Has to be fully fulfilled. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And this is basically the last few words of the Lord Jesus Christ whilst he walked physically on the earth before he was resurrected and taken up into heaven. And he said to them, who's them? Disciples. Who are we? Disciples. So he said to you, he said to you, a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany those who have believed in my name, Jesus. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. They will drink any deadly poison. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen? And so when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out. They took on board the commission. They took on board the command, and it says, and they went out and preached everywhere. While the Lord was working with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Yes. Signs, wonders, and miracles. My God, my Jesus, is a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. If thou art willing, the answer is yes, I am willing. Are you?
Yes.
Am I? Are we willing to risk it? Are we willing to put our neck on the line? Are we willing to risk our name for what worth it is? That God says, he's given us a new name. He's given us a new name that nobody knows. The devil doesn't know it. He's given us a new name. He's given us a new language. And the devil can't interpret. And we can speak to him in an unknown tongue. And the devil's frustrated because he says, what are they saying? What are they saying? What are they planning? What are they plotting? I have no idea. And it's true. He's clueless. He has no power. Only what you surrender to him. If you don't give him any power, he's nothing. Because Jesus took his authority. He took his power. He took the keys. And he said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Amen. Trouble is, we're all jangling keys. Go and unlock some doors. Go set the prisoners free. Amen. Go set the prisoners free. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons in his name. And give him all the praise. Give him all the glory, because as we've seen in these verses, he says, I am willing. I am willing, be clean. I am willing, be healed. I am willing, be set free. Remember the thief on the cross? He didn't get a chance to do anything, did he? Except for one thing. He looked across and he says, Lord, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked at him, even in the agony and the pain of it all, and looked at him and said, today, this day, you shall be with me in my Father's presence. You know, even in the darkest times, Jesus is still winning souls. Come on, church. Jesus is still winning souls, and he's about to die for it. Yet he's still winning souls. Can we do any less? Can we do any less? The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Be wise. Trust this word. Trust the author of this word. Trust his name. Draw closer to him. And let his voice be your voice. Let his words be your words. Let his mind be your mind. And as you flow together, signs, wonders, and miracles shall be seen at the name and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us just pray.